I wanted to talk federal politics now. The 2024 federal budget came out yesterday. Massive amounts of spending, capital gains is going up. The rhetoric is really ramping up. I'm seeing some people say this government's out of control. I'm seeing other people say this government's fighting for my interests. I know there's polling that's been done. I saw it was Frank Graves with Ecos did a tweet, I think, within the past 24 hours that I saw. They had data suggesting that it was voters under 40 that were more likely to adopt the mindset of having the rich pay more, the wealthy pay more, or they're more of their fair share. So it might make them some gains in younger voters, which have largely been co-opted by the Conservative Party in recent months. All in all, I'm not going to pass judgment on this budget. I'm just watching and seeing what everybody else says. I always like to get the opinion of industry, though, especially our industries that we care a lot about that have to do very important work in the years to come. Chris Gardner, President, CEO, Independent Contractors and Business Association of BC. Morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. Doing well, as well as can be expected after the budget that came down yesterday.
That makes it sound like you've got some concerns. What do you think of it?
Well, listen, the service, the debt, just to service the interest costs on the government debt, we're now going to be spending about $1 billion every week. $1 billion a week that we have to pay just on the interest on the debt. And so that's why government spending matters. $1 billion a week that we could be spending on hospitals, schools, roads, bridges, housing, all of those things that are really, really important to people, but we're spending it in interest payments on the debt because the government has just shoveled billions and billions and billions of dollars off the back of a truck, and most of it will not be particularly effective. Most government programs don't work very well. We've seen examples of that, like Arrive Can and the flurry of programs that they announce. Are generally very inefficient and don't deliver the results that are promised to people. So, of course, young people will say things like, oh, you know, I think if you spend more on this program or that program, or I think if the quote-unquote the wealthy pay their fair share. How do we define wealthy in this country? And what is the fair share of that? You know, you start getting into the top income tax bracket at $150,000 in Canada, $120,000 US. Joe Biden, a Democratic president of the United States, said yesterday he is not going to increase taxes on people in the United States, which he defines as middle class, making $400,000 US or less. $400,000 US at $600,000 Canadian.
I really am shocked that we're seeing the capital gains going up. I've read some analysts, and they say, Adam, the tax treatment's actually being brought in line with how dividends work and some other stuff, but I don't know. It just feels off.
Well, the challenge is that who's really going to be captured by that? It'll be the family that's got an asset that they sell as they get near retirement, and they'll be captured by that. Those who are generally going to be higher net worth will be able to program out their spending and keep most of that, because they'll do it every year, and they'll just keep it below the threshold. So
that
it's the average person that gets caught by all of these programs that sound really nice, but the challenge with our political leadership is they see the world as they want to see it. They don't understand how it really operates, to your previous commentary before I came on the show.
Yeah, that's one of the problems that I'm noticing, and it's almost like there's a divergence happening where there's one part of Canada, and it was all through COVID, and it's even now, where the government seems to control everything. The government is the employer. The government wants to provide your entertainment. The government's going to provide your park that you sit in. And the government's going to make sure that you have a nice place to go buy a coffee after. Like, the government's trying to create these artificial pocket economies, if you will. And I'm pulling my hair out because you can't actually do that. It all comes from somewhere. And generally, the more government does that somewhere, the more distortions and unintended consequences you're going to see elsewhere. But more and more, the government just seems not to, at all levels, seems not to appreciate that. We see the same thing federally with the work-from-home legislation and whatnot, as well as provincially with the work-from-home legislation. We work in a capital city here in Victoria, and we have seen our economy substantially impacted by many government workers just never returning to the office. And I saw yesterday one of the pledges in the budget is to reduce, I think it's the federal workforce office footprint, by something like 50%. So that's just forever. It's just going to stay that way.
Well, it will lock in inefficiency, and you know, there was during COVID, you know, trying to get a passport and, you know, trying to get just basic, if you're applying for new programs and just trying to get those applications in and processed, everything sort of comes to a grinding halt or takes a very, very long time. And if you think about this in the context of housing, you know, before the budget, the Prime Minister ran around the country and made announcement after announcement about spending billions to say that all of these programs, we are going to build 560,000 new homes every year between now and 2031. Well, last year we built 230,000.
I know. I actually have a mild obsession when it comes to property development because I think it's the most important policy question that faces us now. The government has figured out it can promise us bottom line progress. I refuse to believe they actually have a plan that'll do that, though. I'm sorry, I just do.
It's impossible. It will not happen. And the most in the last 51 years, the year that we built the most homes in Canada was 1974, and we built about 260,000 new homes. And effectively, the federal government is now saying that beginning this year and then beginning next year, we're gonna start building more than double that. And the reality is it's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen because most of these programs will not work. They're going to be too complicated. They will misallocate resources. They'll be too confusing. And it'll be too expensive. And what the government really needs to do is work with industry and get the private sector to build the homes that we need. And so the trick is that most of the challenge around home building, most of it, is at City Hall, where it just takes so long to get projects approved and permitted.
Totally.
And we've got to take some of that decision-making outside of City Hall. They're being overwhelmed. They're being overwhelmed by in terms of just think of what we did last year. Last year, in terms of our population growth, we took a city the size of Calgary and we added it to Canada.
Yeah.
And we're going to do the same thing this year. Mm-hmm. So we've got two new Calgaries in Canada. And where are these people going to live? Where are they going to go to school? Where are they going to see doctors, get health care? All of that, the rapid explosion in our population is crushing affordability and overwhelming our infrastructure. So we've got to get that number right. How many new people should be coming to Canada? And make sure that when they do come, they've got the skills. They're doctors, nurses, tradespeople, technicians, teachers, people who can fill the skills gaps in our economy. We need those people, definitely. But we've got to find the right balance in terms of what is the number of people we can reasonably absorb? And then how do we start building all this infrastructure? Because it's not just the homes that we need to build. It's all the supporting infrastructure. For every home you build, you got to build $100,000 in supporting infrastructure. You start multiplying that by 560,000 new homes a year times 100,000, and now you're starting to talk hundreds of billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And so we need the federal government and the province to stop running around, sit down with cities, and all three levels of government got to stop the finger pointing. Sit down with industry. How are we going to figure this out? We need new funding models, and we need to find new ways of getting projects approved faster. And we've got to set about building the homes that we need. But most of what you're reading is not going to move the dial. And so when RBC said last week that the percentage of household income that you need to own a home in Canada is 64%.
Yeah.
In Vancouver, it's 106%.
Yeah.
I can say with almost certainty that over the next 5 years, the affordability challenge is not going to change very much.
No.
Given the trajectory we're on right now.